Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 166, Veggies Don't Bite with Sophia DeSantis. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and of course this is the podcast that is all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having fun, learning new things, growing our skills, all of that stuff. So welcome. Glad you're here. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. So grateful that you're taking a little bit of time to spend with us here today. Today on the show, I'm welcoming another great guest in Sophia DeSantis, who runs the VeggiesDon'tBite.com website. She's authored cookbooks. She's got all sorts of stuff going on. We're going to talk to her in a few minutes all about things like meal planning, how to get your kids to eat more veggies, how to cook depending on what kind of energy level you've got, and more. Really interesting conversation. I know a lot of you are interested in several of these topics. And since we're still early on in the school year beginning for most folks, I figured it was a good time to bring her on and talk again about how to get your kids to eat more food and how to survive this crazy world of online distance learning that I know many of us with kids, school-age kids, are going through right now. So we'll get to Sophia in a moment, but a couple of quick bits of housekeeping. Of course, if you want to get to the show notes for this particular episode, so for example, if you hear Sophia mention something, maybe one of the recipes we talk about from her blog, and you want to get the link to that, the easiest way to do that is just to head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/166. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/166. That will take you to the show notes for this episode. And if Sophia and I talked about it today in this conversation, I will put a link to it there in the show notes. If you want to get in touch with me directly, a great way to do that is just to send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, although I'm in those places a little less often. Probably where I spend the bulk of my time actually is in our Facebook community, our closed group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. Look, if you're interested in that, we have a really good group of people over there. It's a private group. We don't allow any spam or anything like that. If you're interested there, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Look, if you like to share pictures of your food, if you like to ask questions about how to cook things, share recipes, whatever, commiserate about failed recipes, whatever it is you want to do, we talk about it in that group. So definitely check that out. All right, back to the subject at hand. Like I said, we have Sophia DeSantis from VeggiesDon'tBite.com with us today. Great conversation. This is one of my episodes that veer a little bit more into the healthy cooking arena, I would say. So I know a lot of you are looking for more episodes in that topic. So this one will be great for you if that's what you're all about. I won't spend too much time right now getting into Sophia's background because she shares that with us in the conversation. And then we get into, like I said a minute ago, all sorts of things like meal planning and cooking to your energy level and prepping and getting your kids to eat more vegetables and all sorts of stuff like that. VeggiesDon'tBite.com is Sophia's website, so you certainly should go check that out. And then we'll mention social media and things like that in the show. And the easiest way, again, is just to head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/166, and I'll put links to all of that stuff there. All right, without further ado, here is my conversation with Sophia DeSantis of Veggies Don't Bite. All right, well, I'm here with Sophia DeSantis, and we're here to talk about all things, home cooking, of course, but specifically veggie-centric meals, how to overcome burnout. Maybe we'll get to some meal planning in here. I'm excited to talk to you about all this, so welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is my favorite topic to talk about.
Well, good. I'm glad you're here then, because you're in the right spot. Now, truth be told, a lot of my listeners, I think I may have mentioned this to you already, and I say this like in third person, like I'm not one of these people too, because I really am.
Yes. But
a lot of us want to be more, you know, veggie-centric. I need to eat more veggies. I certainly need to get my son to eat more veggies. That's always a challenge. So hopefully maybe we can talk about a few pointers there. But you know, before we get into all the good stuff though, maybe just take a couple of minutes, tell us about yourself, and your background, and then we'll get into the conversation.
Perfect. So I'm Sophia DeSantis. I run the website Veggies Don't Bite. And I actually was my schooling, my degrees are in teaching, elementary education. I have a dual credential where my credential in elementary education, but also in special education. And I have a master's degree in education focused on reading acquisition and all that good stuff. And I taught for about 14 years. And then I struggled really hard to have my first child. We went through about 3 years of the gamut of everything from IUIs to surgeries to meeting with different specialists to IVFs. And eventually, after the fourth IVF, I was able to get pregnant and we had our son. And basically, we were just happy. You know, we're like, we have a kid, we're good. You know, I was done. It was a lot, very, very taxing on me, my body, our mental health, you know, everything. So we pretty much were like, great. Well, 2 months later, I found out I was pregnant again. And we were like, wait, what? What's happening? So be careful what you wish for. So I have my first two kids are 15 months apart and both boys. And, you know, we were terrified because we're like, oh my gosh, we have kids 15 months apart, but we were, you know, thrilled nonetheless. And, but having two kids that close together was extremely difficult. And as happy and go lucky as I was to have my first child, and I was the annoying first time mom that was so happy to change her kids' diapers in the middle of the night. And, you know, when you struggle for that long, you crave those things. I went from that to, oh my God, what is going on? Why do I have two babies? And this is awful. So we were done at that point. And then 3 years later, we had an oops baby. So I now have three boys, which I'm beyond grateful. I love my family. I love my boys. It's a lot of work, but it's amazing. But what happened after we had our second son, it was about a couple of months, maybe 6 months after, my husband, who has had high blood pressure, cholesterol issues his entire adult life, his family has these issues as well, was always told that it was genetic and here's your pill. Well, his medication stopped working. Stress levels went up. We had two young boys, you know, one and under. My husband started traveling for work. I, in that period of time, stopped teaching because it did not make sense for me to find somebody to watch my two babies while I went to work and my husband traveled. Because as a teacher, it's not just the job where you clock in and you clock out. You know, it's a very all-encompassing job. And financially, it really didn't make sense. You know, like we'd be paying more in childcare. So I stopped teaching. So we were, you know, also living on one salary. So the stress affects all that heart stuff. And he saw a new cardiologist who suggested that instead of trying to find a new medication, upping his medication, that if he was interested, he could look into a dietary change. And he has this cardiologist is very well known in Scripps, you know, down here in San Diego. And he said, I've helped a lot of people through diet changes. And my husband was like, I'll try anything. You know, I feel terrible every day. So he came to me one day and said, I want to try eating plant-based. And I basically laughed in his face. I was like, that's cute. He's Italian, okay? Like Italian meat and potatoes, you know? And he just looked at me and he said, I feel terrible. I'll do anything at this point. I don't care. So me being the research-based person I am, I was like, all right, give me a month to look into this because I was the one that made everything. And we weren't unhealthy per se, you know? I mean, we were definitely healthy, but healthy means something different to each person. And that's one thing that I really strongly stand behind is that what healthy means to one person doesn't necessarily mean to another. And for him, that meant taking out animal products. So I spent a month, looked into it. We started November 1st of 2012. We said we were going to do it for 21 days because my husband's in finance and in the business world, 21 days to form a habit. So that's why we decided on that. Ironically, day 22 was Thanksgiving that year. So we were like, this is going to go well. And we were spending it with his Italian family. So we had no expectations. We just said, let's see what happens. Let's go into it. You know, super chill. I've got anxiety. We're both kind of anxiety ridden people. And, you know, you don't want to make it stressful. We wanted to make it successful. So long story long, 3 months later, he was off all of his medication, had completely cured himself. He hasn't had any blood pressure, cholesterol issues since. He lost probably about 30 pounds. He's a super tall guy, 6'4". He was never large by any means, but like, you know, when you get older, you start putting on pounds in certain places just kind of comes with age.
Yeah, don't have to tell me that. I get it. Yeah.
And it just happens. But it wasn't a weight loss thing that he did it, but that was a secondary thing that did happen because he, you know, realized how much cheese and, you know, saturated fats he was eating through the addition of animal products. And so he felt amazing. And I had just had my second baby, and postpartum was very challenging for me. I think a lot of it had to do with all the hormones I put into my body as I was going through in vitro. But postpartum was rough for me, and it really helped me as well. So basically since then, we've kind of been fluid a little bit, but we've, on an average, we're very, what I call balanced plant-based. We're plant-based mostly. We don't stress about it. We've allowed, as our kids have gotten older, we allow them to explore whatever food they want because I really want them to have a good relationship with food. And I don't want to put any food as a no, you know, because I don't think that's healthy for young children. And when we go out, we don't, you know, stress too much. My husband doesn't eat any meat, any seafood at all, just because of his own health issues. But throughout all this, my business kind of was born. I mean, it wasn't something I set out to do. It just kind of happened, and it's become a full-fledged business now, and I love it. And I feel like I'm teaching again, but just teaching in different ways and to different, you know, to adults versus kids, and teaching about different things.
I have like three areas I want to talk to you about, and they all kind of interrelate. So I'm not sure exactly how to jump into this, but before we were recording, you and I were talking sort of about the pandemic lifestyle, and we both have kids around the same age that are just getting back into school. And, you know, in the spring, it was weird. Nobody really knew what to expect. And it was kind of like everybody's taking a mulligan on the spring, right?
It's like totally.
Nobody knew what in the world was happening.
Right.
We were all in the same boat. And then summer, we kind of had time to think about it and regroup. And you still don't know what's going to happen. But now school is here. And I have a lot of listeners that have school-aged kids. But, you know, even over the summer, we cook a lot. And I am getting tired of cooking. And I love cooking.
Ditto.
You know what I mean? So you have this concept where I've heard you talk about energy levels, and you have to adapt what you do to how you feel. And I was wondering if you could just talk about that a little bit. And maybe that's a good segue then into meal planning, because I use the excuse, and it's partially true, that we eat out probably or do take out a little bit more often than we usually do, because like I want to support local businesses as well, totally. Right? But it's a lot easier in this day and age to go, you know what? I'm not going to cook what we plan to make tonight. Let's all go to, I don't know, let my son pick the place, you know, let's all go get Chinese food or whatever.
Yeah. Totally.
What tips do you have for home cooks that are rolling into the school season? They have got family to take care of, and they might not have had the summer to recharge maybe like they normally would have.
Yeah. Well, first off, it's true because a lot, I think, of this country's kids are virtual or hybrid, but they're still home more days than they're gone. And it's exhausting. And one thing I have found being we are in week three right now of virtual school is that because the kids get such short breaks now, you have to be on top of having snacks, meals ready when their break starts. Because if you don't, you're spending their entire break getting something in them and then they don't get to play. And so they need to have, just like we do, they need to have that time to like decompress, get outside, run around a little. So I feel like my job as quote unquote lunch lady is what I call it, is like constant. So the energy level thing is something that I kind of discovered and have been quote unquote researching myself for the past probably 2 to 3 years. And a lot of it has to do with the fact, like you just said, I try traditional meal planning, like the quote unquote traditional meal planning where you have this beautiful thing and you have these recipes you're going to make every day. And I am, you know, embarrassed to say I was a complete failure at it because it was so overwhelming. It was so much work. I mean, the planning part is easy, but it's like you said, you get to a certain time of the day, especially right now. And it's ironic because we're inside, but I'm so drained doing this than I ever was before. And by the time dinner rolls around, you're like, yeah, there's no way I'm spending 2 hours making dinner. I don't have it in me. So you're like, forget it. We're going to go get takeout or we're going to do this. So I started realizing that when I planned certain meals, my energy was just zapped. And when I did other things, I was like, oh, that was easy. So I started categorizing what I was going to make by the energy it took me to create it. So I started realizing recipes, like legit recipes, those are high energy meals because you're following a recipe. And just like when I was a teacher, one thing I learned in special education when I taught my kids is it's not as simple as learning how to write. When you learn how to write, you're focusing on the way you hold your pencil. You're focusing on letter formation. You're focusing on spelling. You're focusing on the spatial of the page, where you're putting the words, how far apart you are doing the words, and also what you're thinking about writing. There's so many things involved with just the one simple task of writing. And that's the same goes with cooking. You're following the recipe. You're trying to look ahead as to what you have to do. You're prepping the things like, oh, I need to chop onions. You're thinking of, you know, oh, I need to turn on the oven if it's a thing. Like I'm sauteing. There's all these things that go into it. And as simple as a recipe is on that you find online, it still takes a lot of your energy away. But then there's things that I call quick and easy meal ideas, which are low energy. These are things that don't necessarily require a recipe, but it's like throw together. It's like I'm roasting some veggies, cooking some pasta, putting them together and putting a jar of marinara and some Parmesan on it. That's not a recipe. That's just a guide more. And those don't take a lot of thought. You know, it might take the same amount of time as a really fast recipe, but it just doesn't zap your energy because you don't have to think. And that's kind of what I'm realizing. So I created a meal system where I have a formula as to every week, how many high energy meals I can handle, how many low energy meals I need. And actually I force every single week to take at least one no energy day, which means take out frozen meals, whatever it is, but it requires zero thought. They're bringing it to you, or you're going somewhere and sitting down and they're serving you, or you're popping it in the microwave or the oven. That's it. So, and I force people in my program to do this because of the saying of burnout. Because when we're as parents, especially right now, we are going, and we are not taking time to take a seat back. And what happens is you crash and burn. And all of us do this, you know, I'm sure you know that there's, you know, 3 weeks later, you're sitting there, you're like, I feel like I've been hit by a freaking train. I need to like chill, go away, like do something, or else I can't, you know, do it. And that is a direct result of burnout and not giving yourself breaks before you need them. So that's a big thing.
You know what's interesting? I think I mentioned this on the show before, but one thing, I've been working from home for my day job now since March. I have not been in the office, but working remotely, which thankfully I've been able to do that. I feel very lucky. But it was funny because one, and my wife has as well. And when we started that, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. We'll be able to work. We don't have to commute anymore. We're going to have so much more time. It's going to be different. But I found actually the opposite is kind of true because now I don't have those, maybe they're not natural barriers there. I don't have those barriers in my day. Like there was a barrier to when I left my office and I got in my car and I only drive 15 minutes home, but it was enough of a barrier where my brain could decompress. I could change my hat, so to speak. So when I got home, I was in a different mode. Now it's like I'm in all modes all the time. And, you know, there's no distinction anymore. And I find I have less time oftentimes to do the things I thought I didn't have time to do before. It's very weird, and I'm sure a lot of people experience this as well, but I don't know. That was a bit of a tangent, but I'm still surprised. It's 6 months later, and I'm still surprised that I haven't figured
Agreed.
Out how
totally.
To do this.
Agreed.
I like working from home, and I hope I can continue to do it, but it's just I have to understand and learn a different way of doing things. I'm still trying to put the square peg in the round hole, you know? So let's talk about a meal planning then. Let's take a step deeper. So you talk about things like I have a no energy meal or a high energy meal or a low energy meal. I've never categorized it like that, but I do think in terms of like, this is a slow cooker meal. Let's do that on the weekend when we're around all day, or at least I would have thought about that before I was working from home. Now I can do it any day. This is something that only takes 20 minutes to cook. We can do that on a weeknight. That was more of a time-centric view, not a personal energy level view of what I feel like cooking. But as far as just the practical nuts and bolts of meal planning, I mean, do you have some ideas? I'm a fan of like cooking once and eating twice if you can, not necessarily leftovers, but you made an interesting point where maybe you throw, like here's something we do. We might throw a couple of chicken breasts in the Instant Pot with a jar of green salsa. And, you know, we'll have tacos one night, and then a night or two later, we'll have like grain bowls with the chicken, you know. What are your thoughts on kind of like kitchen hacks or something like that, if you will?
Yeah, that's kind of part of like what I also teach. And that's really kind of, there's two parts of that. There's number one, there's a thing called batching, which I'm sure you probably heard about. Batching is just batching similar tasks. So for example, once you have your plan out for the week, and the way I do my planning is it's not set in stone, because when you have these quick and easy meals, you really can do them anytime. You know, it's, and you don't have to do them in the order that you've decided, because they're throw together. So if you feel like eating the tacos that you had actually put on your list to do Friday, you really could do it any day. It doesn't matter when you do what. But like, for example, when I talk about the pasta, if I'm making something that needs sauteed or roasted vegetables, you double it. You take half of them and put it aside for, like you said, something else. And for me, like with veggies, I one night can make those veggies in like the, with the pasta and the sauce. And then the leftovers, I put it in a food processor with beans and I make veggie burgers out of it. So I'm a huge fan of making extra of something, not necessarily for me personally, because I have families and kids, but for me personally, I don't really take a full day to prep everything for the week, because it is a lot of work. If you have time to do that, wonderful. And for some people that is conducive, because they work, they're gone all week and they're home on weekends and they do want to plan all day on a Sunday and have it ready to go, because they have 10 minutes for dinner, you know, versus 30 or 45. Totally fine. But for me, it's more like you said, like, okay, tonight we're going to do, you know, like you said, with your chicken, like I'm going to put in double, save some for another night so we can do the tacos or enchiladas with them or whatever. I do a lot of sauces. People call me the sauce queen, because I just love creating sauces to put on things. And my thing every week, I like to make one to two sauces and keep them in the fridge, because sauces to me make a meal. You can put them in wraps. You can put them in over a bowl. You could use them for so many different things, like dips for the kids, you know, carrots and, you know, dip or whatever. And so I do things like that. Like you said, like I'm gluten-free for health reasons. I have a gluten issue. And so I'm trying I saw this fresh fettuccine at Whole Foods. And I was like, oh, it's gluten-free. It's fresh pasta in the refrigerated section. Yeah, let's give it a shot. So I have an Alfredo recipe that I created that's posting in next month or something. So I made this Alfredo recipe. Well, I doubled it because I'm also going to use it to make a pot pie. So when you make the Alfredo recipe, when that's ready and my crust is ready for the pot pie, you throw it in with the sauteed veggies, stick it in the crust, and then bake it. So it's a lot easier than making that pie from the beginning, and it really cuts your time. So those are the little hacks that I think when you look at your meal, you look at the parts. When you pick your two high energy meals, you look at those and you try and figure out what else can I make from parts of those meals. So you're really only starting with one or two actual recipes, which is manageable for people. And you look at it and it's like, okay, so, you know, this pot pie needs some fettuccine, it needs some cream sauce. Well, what else can I do with that cream sauce? Oh, I can get some pasta and just throw it some extra with some pasta, you know, for another day. Okay, over here, I'm making enchiladas. Well, I have this really easy, you know, quick black bean enchilada that I have. What else can I do with that? Oh, I can take that filling and double it and save it. We can do burritos later on or bowls. So right there, you have four meals taken care of. So it's just those little things. Or even if, you know, with the enchiladas, it's a veggie enchiladas. Well, I'm chopping vegetables for that and I need vegetables for the pot pie. So I'm just going to chop all my vegetables at once, save half of them for the day I make the pot pie. So they're already chopped and I don't have to do that. So it's batching really cuts down your time by half, because the energy it takes your brain to switch tasks is, it takes energy. So if you're doing the same task at once versus twice, you're saving yourself time and energy.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what else I like about this idea of not necessarily recipes, but just things you can throw together? We have found between the three of us that it also affords flexibility, like individual flexibility.
Yes.
We'll have a meal plan where we'll be like, oh, tonight we were going to have the grain bowls with the chicken. I don't really want to make a grain bowl. I think I'm just going to make a sandwich with the chicken. And my son will be like, I'll just have a quesadilla. It's like, great. We're not beholden to the letter of a meal plan. It's really, you know,
flexibility is huge. And that's a really important point too. Like when you're in today's world, we have so many people with different dietary needs. So when you double it and you, like you just said, well, let's say you had somebody over, you know, that didn't eat chicken. Well, you can do the grain bowls. You just don't do the chicken on it.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, you have a 5-year-old like I do that decides he doesn't eat red things on Thursdays. Like, I don't know, like you never know what their 5-year-olds are going to say.
You never know. Yeah, that's right. I never know what my 8-year-old's going to say, quite frankly. I think I do, but he always confounds me daily. So let's talk about this concept then of getting more veggie centric, or I'm not sure what term you would use. I have people that are interested in vegetarian and vegan lifestyles and dietary choices. But I think probably the majority of my listeners, and I have some listeners who are, right? But I think the majority of my listeners just really want to know. I don't know why. I mean, I think I know why. I don't know why vegetables are always such a tricky deal. I mean, you can like vegetables, right? You love to eat vegetables, and they're still a tricky deal to work into your cooking, right? Unless you're following a recipe that has a very specific use for the very specific vegetables that you're making, right? So I guess a two-part question, as a family or as an individual, how do you, I don't even know what I'm asking, how do you just get more vegetables? I mean, the easy answer is just make more vegetables and eat them, but that's not easy for some people because some people are resistant to the idea. So how do you get past that? And maybe there's a different answer for kids because I'm always trying to figure out how to get my kid to eat more vegetables.
Well, I think honestly, personally, I think the issue with vegetables is that a lot of people, and I don't know exactly how old you are, I'm 43, and I feel like growing up, vegetables were never a center. They were always this bland side. They were like, I mean, my family, I'm Greek, like 100% Greek. So we did have a lot of wonderfully, Greek cuisine actually does have some great vegetables cooked a certain way. But the standard American diet, you had like steamed veggies. And I mean, hey, I'm mostly plant-based and steamed veggies make me gag. Like I cannot eat them. They're disgusting. And so I think part of the problem is that we have this underlying look of vegetables, you know, growing up or whatever. And we don't really know, a lot of people don't really know how to make them where they taste good. And that's, I think, the main thing is that you have to find ways to make them that taste good. Because I'll be the first to tell you, like, to me, salad is an appetizer. It's not a meal. However, when you take a salad and you make it more into a bowl and you're adding all these awesome things to it and topping it off with an amazing sauce, that flavor, that deliciousness, the different textures. I'm big on different textures in one meal. It's just so, you know, large in your palate of different things that it's delicious. And so you eat it. But then if you're having this, you know, like you said, like, oh, you're making this amazing chicken with this green salsa and it's on a plate and then plop, here's your sauteed spinach. Right. I mean,
here's your broccoli.
Yeah, of course you're not going to eat it. I mean, come on, you're comparing it. So instead of looking at as vegetables as a side necessarily, I look at it as the main. Like I include it into the main. So when I'm making my enchiladas, I'm chopping veggies really fine because I do have, you know, as healthy, quote unquote healthy as we are, I do have my certain kids that are very picky. I chop them up super fine and I mix them in with those beans and that cheese and that cream sauce. And it's part of that enchilada. So A, you don't really taste it because you're tasting the flavor of the whole thing as it is. And B, sometimes you don't even see it. And that's the easiest route. I'm all for, I don't necessarily believe in sneaking veggies in behind kids' backs without offering vegetables to them in whole as well, because I do think it's important for kids to know what vegetables look like, what they taste like raw in their real form. But I'm all for getting them in other ways as well. That's like, I think that's really the key with vegetables is they have a bad rap because of their history.
And I'm with you there. So I'm 45. So I'm in your generation right there with you. And, I have lots of memories of very delicious vegetables, but by and large on the daily weeknight meal, it was, here's some, steamed carrots or here's some broccoli or here's a sliced up cucumber. And it just kind of,
yep.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Or green beans, right? I love green beans, but it's like, here's a can of green beans.
Oh God, no.
You know, heat it up and it's like, okay. So yeah, there's a little bit of overcoming that. And I think too, interestingly, I think people are more comfortable, and maybe I'm generalizing here when I shouldn't, but like the spring and summer months, I think people are very veggie centric, right? It's so easy to have a nice salad with whatever you're grilling, or, you know, the abundance of fresh fruits and veggies is there. And I think sometimes when people, especially like in North America, where, you know, you have, or Northern North America, we have cooler winters and fall, you know, I think it's, for me at least, it's a lot harder to be veggie centric maybe when, you know, the weather cools down and I'm making more one pot meals, which is kind of counterintuitive because you would think it would be easier to get vegetables into those sorts of meals, right? You could just, you know, put them in.
You the just have cooker. To know how to do it, really, is you have to have, like what you said, the chicken. I mean, I'm thinking like you put the chicken and then you're chopping up like carrots, celery, super fine. And as they cook, they kind of almost melt away, to be honest, but they're there. They're vegetables. I mean, they're still there. So you just have to, I think, just know how to add them in a way that complements the flavors of the dish and doesn't take away from the main part of it.
I want to circle back real quick on something you said. You called yourself the sauce queen, which I think is a hilarious nickname. I promise not to use that in my intro. but actually, I'm not going to hold myself to that. what's your favorite easy go-to sauce that you can whip up in no time?
So
put you on the spot here.
Yeah, no,
but actually, you're the sauce queen, most, so you should be able to nail
most this. Of them are pretty easy because remember, we're at home and everything on my website is plant-based, and so it's dairy-free. So my base for most of my sauces that you can use as like dressing type slash dips is cashews, because that gives the creamy flavor. And I have a recipe on my site. It's for a homemade ranch dressing that is in my cookbook. I created it for my cookbook when I wrote back in 2017. And this ranch dressing was created next to a bottle of like Hidden Valley. Like I got the legit bottled, like, you know, typical ranch dressing. And I did back and forth, tasting them, getting them. And that's the way I am, because I do, I'm not 100% anything. I will get the real thing a lot of the times and taste it as I do it and try and do as close as possible. My kids will dip anything into this ranch. So it's my go-to, mostly because, I mean, I can shred lettuce, like, you know, really finely, like the restaurants do, and mix it with ranch. And my kids will eat like two bowls of it. It's insane. They just love it. So that is typically my go-to. I'm a spice girl. I love spice. So really what I do is I make the base of my ranch without putting the herbs in. I double that. I take half of it out and make the rest of the ranch with half, put that aside for the kids, dump it back in the blender, and then I add some cilantro and hot sauce to the base, and I make my own spicy like cilantro, so it's kind of two sauces in one. And sometimes I'm just lazy and I make the ranch and then I swirl in some hot sauce and half of it and call it a day. But that's definitely my go-to, because my kids are, and ranch goes with anything. I mean, what can you not eat with ranch? Let's be real.
Okay, now I have another question for you. Ranch on pizza, yes or no?
Oh, 150%.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not judging. Oh, yeah. I like ranch with pizza, but I know that's a hot button topic for people. Okay. So I'm going to link to that recipe then in the show notes as well to back to your blog, because that sounds amazing. I was actually looking over your website and you've got a lot of really interesting plant-based stuff. And I'll have to find it, but one of, here it is. You had a recipe, and I'm curious just to get your take on this, because I have tried before to make plant-based things like ice cream. Mm-hmm. And it just never works.
Did you see the chocolate ice cream, what it's made out of?
Well, yeah. Is this your easy vegan chocolate ice cream recipe?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it chickpeas? And No.
Yes.
Yeah. Chickpeas, cashews, coconut milk. Yeah. I read through it. I haven't tried to make it, but it looks amazing. I mean, it looks like ice cream, and I can't believe that it has that texture.
It's crazy.
At least from the look. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I blend it up. It's super thick and smooth. And then you can make it without an ice cream maker as well. But we have an ice cream maker. So I pour it in and it freezes it. And it's like a chocolate soft serve. I have served it to my pickiest of nieces and she devours it every time. Yeah, it's just a different way. You know, I was a science major in college. I was actually pre-med when I started college. I wanted to be a pediatrician. And so I did all the science classes, and my dad's a scientist. So I'm very science oriented. And cooking is a science, is what it is. You know, it's the, especially baking, and then you throw in vegan and gluten-free baking, and it's like legit a chemistry experiment in your kitchen. But that's really what it is. I approach cooking and baking and creation just a different way, as I think about flavors and textures. And that is why, you know, chickpeas, they give a smooth, creamy texture when added with coconut milk and chocolate. And I think of these things of, you know, just them separately than the actual food itself. And that's kind of how I come up with some of these ideas. Some of them are big flops. You know, I'm not going to lie. I've had things sure. where I, you know, just like everybody that creates food in the kitchen, like there's yeah. things that your family's like, yeah, nope.
Yeah, you're like, never make that
all
again.
Right, yeah. Right. Cool. Okay. Duly
yeah.
noted.
And you know what's cool about this recipe, and I'll link to this as well, because the pictures are amazing. It has, I mean, before you freeze it, it looks to me almost like a brownie mix. It's got that
yes.
that consistency here. It's like,
yep.
it looks very rich and
yep,
creamy.
It
looks amazing. You could probably just eat it like that.
You could. Yeah. Like a pudding, almost like, yeah.
Like a pudding. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. It looks fantastic. So I'm going to link that. You know, the other interesting thing I learned about chickpeas, and you call for it in this recipe, which is the water that's left over from chickpeas right after you cook them, the aquafaba.
Yep.
I found that you can make, and I'm a big fan of these, you can make meringue out of aquafaba. Yeah, I love
yep.
it. It works great. I mean, I love meringue cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I read about this one day and I tried it, and gosh.
It's incredible.
They're incredible. You can hardly tell. If somebody told me they were yep. made out of chickpea, the aquafaba, I would never know. Because you can flavor
oh, yeah,
them.
I have them, committed. Right? I'd be like, you're crazy. Yeah. You never would have yeah. any idea. And it's amazing the person that discovered this. And I don't know if you read the history behind the person that discovered
this. I did.
This.
I can't remember it. But yeah. Yeah.
From what I remember, and I, you know, have noticed this too, is like when you rinse off chickpeas from the can, it foams like egg whites do. So began studying the composition of it. And it's amazing. It's just very similar. And it goes to show like protein, like they both, you know, have a protein base of some sort in there. And it's amazing. It's amazing what you can really do with plants. And that's kind of where this is why I like do what I do, is because I don't just make veggie centered meals. I recreate all of our favorites with plants, you know, and nothing we eat and create is bland. I mean, in any way whatsoever. So my husband, you know, loved manicotti. I've been creating, like playing with some manicotti ideas, and, you know, he's like, this is ridiculous. This is amazing. So it's not just, you know, we're eating vegetables, because we're not just eating vegetables. We're just using different sorts of plants to recreate regular meals. That's really what it is.
So, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I want to just come back and land on it a little bit more. And that's the topic of kids, because we did talk about the whole energy and back to school. And a lot of my
yes.
listeners do have kids, and they're all in that situation. So the last thing you want to have to do as a parent is worry about what you're feeding your kid. But of course we all do. So what are some ideas that parents can use to get their kids to eat more vegetables? Or you know, I'm not a believer in like forcing your kid into a certain dietary lifestyle. I think you mentioned earlier you want your kids to sort of discover what they
yes
are what works for them. And of course, young kids, you need to guide them a little bit. Otherwise,
yeah.
I mean, as a kid, I would have just eaten like Doritos and
right
Red Vine right for life. You know, what do you have to say for parents that are just doing the best they can to try to get their kids to maybe broaden their horizons a little bit?
Well, and I agree with you with the whole forcing your kids. I mean, our kids know the reasons why we eat the way we do at home. They know because they are genetically made up of half me, half dad. And there's a really good chance that they also have dad's issues, because it's a genetic thing. And so we've told them, like, we want to set you up for health and success. And we want you to know how it feels to be healthy, so that when you're an adult and you make these certain decisions and you don't feel good, you'll know why. But at the same time, I am not the mom, like you said. I want my kids to learn the lessons on their own. You know, like my oldest son is born on Halloween. Okay. So let's just say Halloween, it's his birthday. I'm not going to tell him not to eat the candy he wants to eat. Like that, it's his birthday, you know, like just doesn't happen. So of course the, you know, all the kids and my kids have had instances where they just, I'm like, you want another piece of candy? Go for it. Let's see how you feel. And then they're done. They're like, oh God, I feel terrible. And then the next time they remember that, but they're not going to care if mom says every time, no, don't eat the candy. You know, like we have a candy jar on our counter. It's there for consumption. But my kids are slowly learning certain foods make them really feel different than others. And that's one thing I like to talk about a lot is, you know, how my kids feel when they eat certain things. If they say that their stomach hurts, we talk about, okay, well, what did you choose for snack today? Because my kids, you know, choose their own snacks. And well, I ate pretzels. Then I had some crackers and then I had some chips. And I was like, so why do you think your stomach hurts? Or gosh, mom, I'm so tired. Well, you had all those three things. Where was your protein? And you know, where's your energy coming from? Like where, so we talk a lot about the, I guess, food in a more scientific way with how it feels, what your body needs in order to be at its best. Like my sons love to play sports. Okay. You want to play sports? Well, what do you need to play sports? Like your body needs to have energy and needs to be, you know, you have to feed your body right in order to have the energy to be good at sports. I mean, even if it comes to video games, I can argue the same thing. You want to play video games? Well, you need your eyes to function and you need to be fast on that controller. Well, what does your body need and your brain need in order to be able to do all these things well? I mean, I can argue that in any corner, if, you know, any kid can throw anything at me and I can argue that they still need healthy food in order to do that. But then we also talk about what they like. And I think it's really important for parents to understand that kids are allowed to have tastes and flavors. And I have a son who despises cucumbers and I have another one who will eat 5 cucumbers for dinner, just that, and be super happy. So it's okay to not like something. And it's important to make sure that, you know, you want your kids to explore things and to try different things. But anytime I introduce something new, I always make sure there's something on their plate that they actually like as well. And I think it's really important for kids to feel control because as a kid, you really don't have control about much. Your parents control everything. And so food is the one thing kids can actually control by not eating. It's a control thing. It's not like kids aren't going to starve themselves. They're not dumb. Like they're going to eat when they're hungry. But it's a control thing. Like they need to feel like they can control something, especially in today's world. Everything has spiraled out of control, you know, and their lives have been torn out from under them. And I think that we forget that kids are really suffering, even though they don't show it like adults do. So making sure that is now that we're home, especially, I let the kids kind of get involved, you know, asking your kids, like I have 3 boys. So I said, all right, we each get to pick something we want for dinner this week. What do you want? One kid will be like tacos, the 5-year-old. That's all he eats is tacos. Great. Having tacos again. Wonderful. You know, what do you want? And I let the kids not only, you know, be part of what we're eating, but I also let them pick like, okay, we need a veggie in our, you know, let's say there's like we're having burgers and we're doing black bean burgers, not veggie burgers. Okay. What do we want our veggie side to be? French fries. Yep. Potatoes, a veggie. Let's do some French fries, but let's pick something else too. So we can, you know, not just have French fries. Let's pick something else too. We can add in, you know, I let the kids pick a lot of the times what they're going to eat. And maybe we have options. You know, if like you said, grain bowls, we do a lot of bowls, build your own, whatever, make your own pizzas. And we have everything out. And I say, these are the proteins. You got to pick one protein. These are the veggies. You got to pick one veggie. I don't care what it is. Pick it, put it on your pizza. So it's more like giving them some control. Even like I know now grocery shopping isn't as easy with kids, but I used to take the boys, you know, sometimes I'd take them to the store and let them, you know, let's try mix things up. Let's try something new. Go find a veggie that we haven't tried that we can try. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but it's just that idea of letting them have some control in it and even helping you prep meals. I mean, the 8-year-old can definitely help. I have this great knife from Amazon that I bought the kids that is awesome. It like, if you have celery and you have to chop it or carrots, like it's a great, like it won't cut the kids, but it actually does cut the veggies. I mean, it's not amazing. I wouldn't use it as I'm, you know, prepping things, but
right. You're not going to take it to your Iron Chef debut. Yeah.
No, but for kids, it's great. And having them be involved with it is a big thing for me. And when in doubt for me, cover it in ranch.
Yeah. So, Sophia, this was awesome. And I appreciate you taking the time to come and share some of your hard-won wisdom about meal planning and getting more vegetables into your diet, also as grownups and for your kids. It's been very enlightening. So thank you. Where can people follow you, find you online?
Well, my website, veggiesdontbite.com. I am most active on Instagram. I am, I take breaks sometimes, but I'm behind the scenes that I Instagram stories. I'm there all day, every day, showing my real life, my antics, the hell of homeschooling my three kids right now. interesting pictures the five-year-old draws. If you, anybody listening, happen to catch that, that was interesting. But this is like, I'm definitely most active on Instagram. I respond to all my messages, obviously email, but I also have my Meal Systems Masterclass. It's a free masterclass that I offer people that really kind of ties in a little bit of what we've talked about, the reasoning behind all my energy things. And that's another great place to get in touch.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Sophia, thank you so much. And good luck with the school year this year. And
you as well.
Yeah, we'll see how this all turns out. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Sophia DeSantis of VeggiesDon'tBite.com. She has a lot of stuff going on, as you could gather from the conversation, whether it's her blog, obviously, her social media, her cookbooks, her meal systems masterclass. If you want to get any of that information, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/166. And links for everything that Sophia and I talked about will be there. So, Sophia, thank you so much for stopping by. Hope the school year is going great for your family. I know it's an adventure on our end of things. And yeah, but you know what? We're going to make it through it and everything's going to turn out great, or at least good enough. All right, everybody. Thank you once again for taking a little bit of time out of your day to spend with me here at the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I hope you got some value out of today's episode. And if you did, or any of the other episodes for that matter, and you think your friends or your family might also get some value out of it, I would encourage you to share the show with them. And you know, a lot of folks aren't aware of what a podcast is or how to listen to it, although more and more are every day. But you know, you can share the website, kitchencounterpodcast.com, or how to find me on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen to the show. It's a lot of fun. It's fun to share these things, and it helps grow our little community. And it's not just my show. Any podcast that you love, that you think your friends and family would love, you should definitely recommend those too. All right, well, that will do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. You know what? It's almost October, which means Halloween episode is on the horizon, so keep your ears peeled for that. And everybody have a great day. Stay healthy, stay safe. Do what you need to do to get by. And until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.